Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Stephon Diggs deal is done. So why did it happen now? And how does it impact the next big move by Brandon Bean? Plus, what would it take for the team to trade up at the draft or trade back? And it's time for our scalding hot takes. Sure to happen before the start of the season. That's coming up on this week's edition of the Buffalo Plus Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus channel. We have the Buffalo Plus Podcast presented by Connors and Ferris. Before we get started talking about the Stephon Diggs deal, please be sure to like, comment, and most importantly, subscribe to Buffalo Plus. All right, Mike Catalana, Dan Fates, I am Jenna Cottrell. We're talking the Stephon Diggs new deal, $104 million, four-year type of thing. Stephon Diggs, the star, he's happy. He's staying in Buffalo. Mike, what's your take?
Well, they had to do this, right? They had to get it done. And it was no guarantee in this way. Who would have thought at the beginning of this offseason that the Chiefs would part ways with Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams would leave Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, right? It can happen. Money gets in the way. Diggs had hinted enough. He wanted a deal, but it was a smart deal also for Bean. You know what Josh Allen thinks about this, right? Mm-hmm. Schefter, somebody tweeted out that could they trade Diggs, and he just wrote no. And then when the deal happened today, he just wrote yes. He needs him. The Bills need Diggs. Diggs, I say needs the Bills, wants to be with the Bills. Mm-hmm. It needed to get done. It should have gotten done. It fits a lot of what they want, and it is a relief, I would say, for Bills fans and certainly for the quarterback that it gets done now.
You guys want to say, like, Dan, you were right? Do we want to take that moment? We gave Mike his flowers. Can I get mine?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
What?
I think Mike's was way more of like a breaking news story.
Yeah. What? So you're telling me Mike breaking a billion-dollar stadium news isn't as good as me standing on a soapbox screaming to get Stephon Diggs a new deal?
Like, you want to spend Terry and Kim Pagula's money more than anybody. Like, more than you got to get Josh Allen done now. You got to get Trey White done now. Got to get Stephon Diggs done now. How about the new deals for Catalana, Fates, and Cottrell? How about those deals?
Yeah.
I want all of them done. Well, it's funny because after this deal breaks, and it's Wednesday afternoon we're recording this, the graphic comes up, you know, somebody tweets, who's next? And it's like DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin and some of these guys. And I'm sitting there like, man, is it nice not to see Stephon Diggs being there? Because what I said, like, Diggs doesn't get the big time, as big of a contract as Tyreek or Adams, but he gets more guaranteed money. It lowers his cap hit this year and next year, which helps with what the Bills needed to do. And like I said, it just makes sense. And I know, like I said, Bills fans are extremely happy, as they should be. And I'm not going to be one to pour cold water on their parade. But like, you also have to understand that this is what good teams do. And I know it's weird, but like, this is what they do. The Bills are now a well-run organization, a well-run franchise, and this is how it gets done. I had a friend text me today and go, the Bills are going all in, huh? This deal doesn't scream all in to me. This deal screams, this is what a team needs to do to be successful. You re-sign players that have earned it, that fit your culture, and that makes sense. And Diggs checks all of those boxes. And that's what I said, was that getting a deal done. Brandon Bean's gotten a lot of deals done, guys, with whether it was Josh Allen, whether it was, what was the other one? Deion Dawkins. Like, some of these deals, Trey White. He's gotten all these deals done pretty much drama-free and pretty much before the deadline, where this really became this, like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And again, this is 2 years before, Jenna, his contract was up. But this is the world we live in now.
I was going to say, The NFL has just changed so much. And I think this is just another testament to that. But it's so true. I mean, this is what a responsible GM does. A guy who outplayed his contract, who deserves that type of money, who bought into Buffalo, who's a team captain, who's helped been a part of changing the national narrative in terms of the Bills and what they can do. You pay that guy. And that's what he did. And look, it helps out this year in terms of the cap hit, things like that. So it's mutually beneficial, obviously. But at the same point, you want to keep your guys happy. It sends a message, too, in that locker room that if you play well, you are going to get paid if you want to stay in Buffalo.
Yeah.
All these things make sense to me. It makes sense in what has been done. And yeah. I know Bills fans are very excited. Of course they should be. Stephon Diggs is a star, and he's coming back to Buffalo, and you have another star on that roster. I think of training camp this upcoming summer with all Von Miller, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs walking into Pittsburgh. Like, that's going to be really cool for a lot of Bills fans and for them to show up on the field. And that being said, though, I don't know, Mike, if that changes the Bills' approach in the draft, because I still expect them to want to keep their fastball and keep adding talented receivers.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, positions we can look at that way. Wide receiver is one of them. You can get a lot of guys on the field at the same time. And yeah. I want to talk about that a bit later, too, on why certain positions you can add players who can contribute right away, and other positions it doesn't work as well, and they have to wait their turn. But in terms of the Diggs deal, it's funny that Dan mentioned those guys, talented guys. Terry McLaurin is a super talented player who has played with nobody at quarterback in Washington. And you start looking at that and say, the different dynamics of these wide receiver deals. Like, Tyreek Hill had won a Super Bowl in Kansas City, got them to a couple more, and was great for them. But they got a pretty good haul in return. Yeah. Now, we all look at it and go, man, without Tyreek Hill, they're a different offense. But they have Mahomes. Can they make it work? And then you look at the Green Bay one is the stunning one, just because Adams was so tied to Rodgers. And Rodgers needs that help. I guess he hasn't gotten there again to get over the top. I'm thinking in terms of when you have the quarterback and you have the wide receiver, the importance of keeping them together. Like, if I'm Washington and I'm Seattle, I might be looking to move those guys. And I know that sounds bad, but you don't have the quarterback yet. And it's hard for a wide receiver to elevate bad quarterbacks. The deal with Diggs and Allen is, you guys see it all the time. Yeah. Fans see it. They are so tied together. To get this deal done now is smart. He's still absolutely in his prime. He's a phenomenal route runner, keeps himself in shape, does everything for the team. Dan's point about not being all in, you're right, because think of the opposite. And I don't care really what you got in draft capital. You couldn't move on from Stephon Diggs.
No, I agree.
And there was on the last podcast, can't remember who it was. They said a lot of nice things about me in the comment section. So I really appreciate it about how smart my takes were.
Is that your burner?
I don't know. It wasn't my burner. Trust me. It was the opposite. Might have been my arch enemy. But just saying that I had just brought up the fact, like I said, that you need to get Diggs done before it dragged on. And like I said, for all the people, so many people in the comments said, Diggs isn't going anywhere. Diggs isn't going anywhere. And we all laughed. And I was reading them going like, Chiefs fans didn't think Tyreek Hill was going anywhere. Yeah. Okay. So like, let's not act like this. And then, you know, to Mike's point, when he said, well, there's 2 years left on the deal, like, you don't need to get anything done, which is true.
Yeah.
But that is almost like 5 years ago NFL. And I mean that in the sense of the player movement, the player empowerment is different than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And so that is why this, like, for Brandon Beane to stick with the times and knowing what the landscape is and how things are changing. We've never seen quarterbacks get moved around like this before. We've never seen guaranteed money like we've ever seen before. Like, this is changing. So for GMs to kind of be going with the pace, I think Brandon Beane is should be commended for that. And on top of it, guys, we have to address the fact that Doug Whaley chimed in and gets dunked on within 48 hours. It is just
okay.
Jeff's
I'm not going to kill Whaley as much as some other people.
No, but it's just really funny.
He's asked his opinion on it. It is a different NFL now when you see it that way. And, you know, Doug Whaley's issue when he was the Bills GM wasn't necessarily talent evaluation. He found pretty good players most of the time. He just had a struggle figuring out value figuring out, you know, like two number ones to move up to get Sammy Watkins, like that's just not smart in this day and age in the NFL. It's like Dave Gettleman drafting a running back second. Like, yeah, that's the problem. Of course, those guys are talented, but that's not the problem. But, you know, it's an easy shot, you know, considering it's
done. Could have traded Diggs for like 2 third-round picks and been like, see, like, at least we didn't have to pay him. We didn't have to give him that deal.
But to go back to my point, when you did not have the quarterback, it's hard to pay a wide receiver when there's value 100%. Out there and there's so many in the draft. So where it just, hey, look, you know, it's like Diggs is great, but, you know, Minnesota made their pick and they're very happy with their guy who's going to get, you know, signed for $1 billion when his deal is ready to go too. So, you know, it's all part of it.
It is funny though, the back-to-back of like what Whaley said and then Brandon being like, oh, we have the money. Like we got it done.
Oh, by the way, I'm not the guy that says the salary cap is a fraud, but how many times have I said to you, what do they say? If you want a guy,
that would be Dan.
You make it work. If you want a guy, you make it work. If you don't, you move on. There are times it becomes part of the evaluation.
Yeah.
But look what they did. It's like, you know, it's like everybody might, you know, you got a little money socked away somewhere and you just don't tell anybody, you know, maybe don't tell anybody. And then when you need it, you go, I had this over here. It's like Brandon Bean, like you said, Dan, Brandon Bean went out and said, I'll take a Von Miller. Like, where'd that come from?
What a rainy day fund.
In my household, if I win a big bet, Renee doesn't need to know exactly how big the bet was.
It's like, or when you lose a big bet.
Correct. No, I'm looking plus side, Mike. I'm talking about like, I won a big bet. And it's like, well, how much was it? It's like, well, we can go out to dinner today. And it's like, when in reality, it's like, we probably could have gone on a trip. Like, but we'll just go out to dinner and I'll keep the rest. But one thing I wanted to bring up before we switch gears a little bit is, Jenny, you always make the point, I think it's so great, about people in the locker room see where the money gets spent.
Yeah,
they do.
And that's what I always said about Trey White, was that like he deserved it. Why are you, you know, like you've got to pay him while you're paying other guys. I look at what Bean has signed, and it also is kind of glaring. And as I said, before Trey White's deal became a real issue, before Josh Allen's contract expired, before Diggs's, they all got him done. Even Taron Johnson, even Deion Dawkins. Mm-hmm. Some of these deals have gotten done and players have gotten paid that they have brought in, especially drafted, or in the sense of Micah Hyde is another guy I wrote down. They got deals done. And you see that, like Jenna says, you see where the money goes. Doesn't this just scream that Tremaine's not coming back?
I could not agree more.
Doesn't this just scream that, like, the way that everybody else's deal has gotten done before the crunch deadline, like before it was getting it settled, they've gotten something done.
Yeah.
And it just really seems like if you're Tremaine Edmonds, you're seeing Deion got paid, Trey White got paid, Taron Johnson got paid, Steph got paid, Josh got paid, and you're sitting there like, so what are we doing here, guys?
And I think that brings up, Mike, your point of, while some people think the salary cap on this podcast is a fraud, Vates.
Yep.
But at the same point, it can be a really nice excuse. It can be something that you can pin things on, say, you know what, we just don't have it. Again, you can find that money when it's the right player. But the fact where we're at, you know, Tremaine's entering is the fifth year, final year, he's going to be a free agent next year. And there hasn't seemed to be any real movement on that. I think that really goes to show that maybe the Bills are like, let's see what he has this year, and then we'll go from there. And I think they're willing to roll the dice and say, hey, if he has a standout breakout season, we're going to have to pay him more, but let's see what he can actually do. And I think that is something that I know he's such a polarizing figure, I feel like, on the Bills. But when you look and when you do follow the money, you see all that intent, and then you look over and see a young Tremaine Edmonds.
I think you're right. I think you're both right on this. And there's a few factors that go into play with Tremaine Edmonds. Yes, he was a high draft pick. Jenna, we were there with him. He and Josh drafted together, standing in that little hallway when they first started talking to each other. It was cool. Yeah. These 6'5" guys, you expect them to be that way. I think Tremaine is a good football player, but he's a frustrating football player because we haven't seen that next level. And, you know, I like Dan likes to make the golf analogies. I'll make the basketball analogies. And I'm not talking about the holding out part, but he's a Ben Simmons to me. He is a very talented guy who does some things really well, but just hasn't advanced in other parts. And you're frustrated because you see the physical ability. Mm-hmm. But what works against him is his position is not one that teams like to give that big money contract to, that next one. Few guys get it, but not as many. And I think it would be very easy for them, very easy, simple for them to say, we move on. He will get paid by someone.
Yes.
He is, yeah, to make our joke again, a young guy, and he'll be a young guy with 5 years experience, still only what, 17 years old when he's done after this season. And so someone's going to sign him, and that will go to a compensatory formula, depending on where the Bills are with all the deals they make. But I think it will. And I think they will move on. And then the question is, okay, now I might as well get to my point about the position groups. It's hard to draft a linebacker now. Say you drafted one in the first round or the second round and turn around and go, where's he playing? I mean, most of the time they got two linebackers on the field. So unless you were planning on making a deal now, that's hard to do. But it's also the kind of position, to be quite honest with you, that I think you could make a relatively high draft pick next year and that guy could get plugged right in and play. And right next to Matt Milano and the rest of this defense. So I think, yes, the signs point to it. It doesn't mean he's a failed draft pick.
No.
It's one of those rare ones where I think the guy is a good player and fit. And if he was a third-round pick, you'd be pretty happy with him.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's a first-round pick. And to pay him like that, I'm with you. I don't think it's going to happen.
I always think about Brandon Bean talking about you set your expectations for where a guy has been drafted. And the Bills obviously picked him in the first round. And those expectations are on par with that. And I think he is a nice player. He is incredibly athletic. But it's really interesting. We were talking about the draft and other players. So I actually went back and looked up Tremaine's draft profile. And, you know, the top of the board in terms of his strength, unique size, long limbs, rangy frame. And then you go down to his weaknesses. Excuse me. Instincts are average, relies on athletic gifts, can be a step slow to misdiagnose, blurred by misdirection. And you kind of look at that and you're like, wow, that is the same things that we're kind of seeing and looking at when he's been in the league now. This is going to be, he's entering this season.
And on top of that, it's always funny when you go through Josh's draft.
Right, that's what I was just going to say.
And
go ahead.
And he's improved all of them in the 4 years. And Tremaine is the same guy that came out of college, again, a first-round pick. I think that Brandon Bean wants Tremaine Edmonds to have just a all-pro season. Yeah. Lead this defense, be that guy that they always thought it could be, and then just sit there and be like, hands are tied. Like, there's just some, you know, it's just out of our hands. We'd love to have him, but, you know, we just know, like, kind of like a Harrison Phillips. Again, another guy that different circumstance coming off, and, you know, he had an injury in the middle of his rookie contract. But again, another guy that I think they would have wanted to keep Harrison. They would have gotten a deal done at some point. And that's just how, like I said, I'm just looking at the track record of deals have gotten done. Really, the only one that was surprising was Milano, and that was COVID, shrunken salary cap, very odd year in that respect. But a lot of times, you know, I know Bean didn't draft Shaq Lawson, but just the sense of, hey, if we don't get a deal done by the time, you know, we start, the clock's getting close to midnight, we're just not doing it. And that kind of says all that we think.
I also think about when Milano got his extension, Mike, you talking about how they usually only pay one of those guys. And that was obviously a couple years ago. I mean, that was the 2020 going into the offseason there. So that to me, like, it was entering the 2020 season. We just come off of the 2019 season.
Right.
But still, like, that to me is like, I mean, that was a couple years ago.
And you're right. And they had the ability. Yeah, based on that fifth year option, they had the ability to let this string out. And to Dan's point, even if he has that year, like you're saying, it's hard to pay that linebacker big 100% money in that second deal, which is where I go back and say, it's why you see teams, and this is the part, I don't know if Brandon Bean had it to do over again, not specific to Tremaine Edmonds, but to the position. Are you drafting a linebacker there? Because it is, in a lot of cases, about the second contract. And you're saying, It's a lot to invest there. That guy's got to be a star.
Maybe a defensive end.
Well, again, but the positions, you know, offensive line, you know, usually at the corners, but now it's been some guards, but definitely pass rushers or D linemen, corners, quarterbacks. That's usually where it is. Now, we've gotten a lot of wide receivers of late. Mm-hmm. But in terms of that, it's usually where you draft. So, yeah, you're right, Dan. At some point, you got to move on from somebody or make priorities on somebody. And I think he is going to be the odd guy out.
I just like that Bean doesn't usually get backed into corners with deadlines of contracts. Yeah. That's what I like. Like, Bean gets deals done when they make logical sense. When he got the Josh Allen deal done.
Yeah.
The Josh Allen deal still looks great. The Trey White deal, he was the highest paid guy for like a week.
Yeah.
Until Ramsey reset that one. This Diggs deal looks pretty comparable, especially with who's going to come up next and get a massive contract with what's going on. So, I don't know, like I said, but this is what well-run teams do. It's just something new, I think, to Bills fans. We're like, I can't believe they got this deal done. Whereas I was sitting here going, and I think we all thought, you're absolutely going to get the deal done. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
All right. So we talk about the draft. We touched on it a little bit. The Bills sit at 25th overall in terms of the first round. Mike, do you think they move up? Do you think they move back? Do you think they stay put? Do you think Diggs has anything to do with this? Like, how do you evaluate things now?
Okay. Can I say this at the beginning is my scalding hot take involves a move up, but I want to save it.
Ooh.
How's that? Okay. I do think there's a scenario that they move up.
Okay.
And I'm not even going to give you the position that they're going to move up for. I would say the chances of moving up are better than moving back. I think there's going to be teams. There's a lot of value. Everybody that I've been reading, you know, that have been following this right from the beginning is saying it's not a super great value at the top of the draft, but the mid part of the draft, there's value there. And I think there's going to be opportunities, maybe even to take a guy a little earlier than you wanted, but because you're not moving up for a quarterback, you know, that changes the value of the trade. Teams might be willing to move back to get out of that spot. And a team like the Bills in the position they're in might say, all right, we'll move up and take that guy ninth or whatever the number is, but we're not going to have to give up as much because there isn't as great a value. If that makes sense, like the picks aren't as valuable because they're not going to be that many quarterbacks taken. So
correct.
I do think there's a scenario there that could be wide receiver. I guess it could be corner. I mean, those would be the positions that a lot of think. But I got another one, and I'll save that.
Oh, wow.
For the super hot
tease.
There you go.
Okay, Dan?
I've been team wide receiver since I was up at the combine and just, I mean, in general. And like I said, you also look at it, and it's so funny. We did this last offseason when they re-signed Darrell Williams and John Feliciano, and they said, look at all these guys that are under contract. Like, the Bills are going to have their offensive line for the same for the next 5 years. And it's like, it never works out that way. And it's pretty much going to be a whole bunch. Like I said, I tweeted out the graphic at one point, the starting five linemen from the from week one of this year compared to what it's going to be coming in. And there's going to be three guys that are totally new. So you talk about things changing, but they don't have a ton of wide receivers that are under contract for future years. Obviously, now besides Diggs and Gabe Davis, there's a lot of guys that just like 1 or 2 years. It's you have, you know, the Jake Kumaros, the Isaiah Hodgins, like McKenzie's, like it's not a super deep, you know, position. And all of a sudden, I you know, Jamison Crowder, it's like, yeah, these guys are placeholders. These are bookmarks that you're going to move on from. So again, the two guys that I've been in love with from the beginning is Jameson Williams out of Alabama, just because the sense of he's coming off the ACL injury. He looks good already. We also don't need to throw him too much to the wolves right away or the deep end of the pool. You can give him a little bit of time to adjust and acclimate. And I just think of having a guy like that on the outside with a guy like Stephon Diggs and going like, good luck trying to stop him. Like that's where I'm at. The other one too is, again, you're trying to figure out, there are so many teams. Mike and I were talking about it the other day in the sports office. Like, there are a lot of teams that need wide receivers and there's going to be a run on them. And I think when that starts to happen, I think you'll start to see whether it's Bean or other teams start to be like, okay, I like three wide receivers, and all of a sudden one of them goes, and then all of a sudden they're making calls to be like, hey, we can't miss out on all of them. Like, there might be that rush. Is Treylon Burks out of Arkansas, didn't run extremely well, but he's football fast. Nobody really caught him. He ran away from a lot of SEC cornerbacks. Big guy, 6'3", like 210. They kind of call him like the Deebo Samuel. Like, well, everybody wants a Deebo Samuel, but that's why Debo's Deebo. But I just think those guys kind of fit into a lot of what the Bills could do. So I'm team wide receiver.
I think this year is so unique just because it doesn't seem like the quarterbacks will be as hot of a commodity. And we know how much that can kind of free up spaces for teams that don't need a quarterback. You know, those other skill position guys continue to fall because quarterbacks aren't being taken. That being said, I guess I don't expect them to move back. I do expect them to stay put, but I think like what Dan was talking about, there's more value early on, and then kind of where the Bills are, there's not as much in terms of the positions you're looking at, whether it be corner or receiver, things like that. So I could see an actual scenario where the Bills do move up. I don't think that's out of the question, but I think what just would make it interesting is the team they would trade with to get that, what it would take to get the job done. And I feel like if they were to move up, it would have to be a corner or a receiver that they would take. I feel like those are the two positions that have really been the key for this offseason and what they do. But that is something I don't see a scenario where they move back. But I mean, obviously we know Brandon Bean has moved back before, but Trey White, and there's examples of that. So I don't know. Because we don't expect it, that could also be a thing too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it and say, Dan's making a good point. You both did, saying if there's a guy there and he's got the ammunition, he's not afraid. We've seen it. He's not afraid to make that move up. In terms of trading back, you know, that's when you sit there and you go, okay, we're at 25. We got 12 guys that we like about equally. And maybe you start drafting a little differently. Maybe it is an interior offensive lineman that you think you got a couple of them that haven't gone off the board, and you'll move into the second round and take those. And somebody wants to, you know, somebody who didn't take a quarterback, you know, Kenny Pickett slides. I don't know if he will, but somebody goes, we're going to take a shot at him there. I mean, those kind of things can happen, but at least I would say for Bills fans, you can rest pretty well knowing that Beans, we know he sticks to his board. At least he tries. Man, what happens though? What happens if he gets there at that point and the number one player on his board is a pass rushing defensive end?
Gotta take him. You gotta trust the board, Mike. You have to listen to the board. You set your board, Mike. Do you not know that you're supposed to set your board and then you just listen to it?
It would be funny.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see if that ends up happening.
All right. What's your take, Mike? Okay. What's your hot take?
There's a player in this draft that has been talked about as the best player in the draft and has now, some people say, sliding because of some measurables.
I got him.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Kyle Hamilton of Notre Dame.
Oh, nope.
Not who you had.
Not who I had.
I think he's got Buffalo Bills written all over him. I would see all the report. When I started seeing reports, top five, top six, and then he runs a little slower than people thought, which might scare some teams away that are sitting there going, he's got to come right in and play as our number one guy. The Bills are in a unique spot. They have had phenomenal safety play. Both those guys are great culture, team, all those things you talked about. But they're both on the other side of 30, and at some point, you're going to do something. That guy is a mega talent, multiple positional guy, can play, you know, again, I don't think either one of the Bills safeties is considered a burner. I mean, they're both great athletes, but they're not burners. Like, they're just smart, tough, all those things you want. I think if you see that guy slide somewhere into double digits, he's the type of player that Brandon Bean would make a move up and go get, and he could end up on the Bills. Now, there's other teams that maybe would be thinking the same way, but I think he is their type. I think he fits in as that type of guy. And at some point, Nobody wants to hear it, but at some point you're moving on from one of these guys. Yeah. It just will happen. And it could be Jordan Poyer. He's been great. He's got 1 year left on his deal. At some point, Jordan Poyer needs to get paid again too, right? If he wants another, another deal, and he's played great. But how many guys can you sign into their 30s, two at the same position? So how about that one? How about you make a mega deal, not mega deal, some draft capital certainly to move up, and you go get the safety out of Notre Dame if he slides?
My head would explode. My head would explode because you're so right. And I thought about every once in a while you have to make those franchise altering moves where you move on from a player, right? That's what Bill Belichick is so great at. You know, you move on from them before they've already turned to the back half of their career. But Mike, they just both had all pro seasons at safety.
Yeah, I'm talking about for the next five, six, 7 years, and you draft them now.
My thought is, what would he do this year?
You don't think you could get him on the field?
Where?
You play, think about the way they play defensively. First of all, honestly, there are times you bring him up into the box and let him play. There are times you can keep him in the slot. I mean, I know you have Taron Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm saying is, do you want to get a player like that on your roster? And if he starts to slide, I think he's the kind of guy they make a move for. And the difference is, do you draft him now and have him ready and playing this year, on the field this year? I mean, look, they get Jaquan Johnson on the field. They get third safeties on the field. And I know it's hard to say that and go, oh, my God. You know, they used, I mean, a second-round pick, but, I mean, they used two second-round picks on rotational guys on the D-line. And here I am making this point about some positions you get more guys on the field. I just think that kind of talent, when you have two safeties in their 30s, and I know right now I can already read the comments of people going,
they're not going to be ripping on me this podcast.
You're going to sign a Poyer and Hyde for the next 10 years. That's not the real NFL. It's just not. And so you're going to need a guy in this defense, which is, again, very safety focused. Like, it works for them. They need that guy. There's my super scalding hot take for the draft.
I mean, you need to draft, though, before it's a position of need. Like, Brandon Bean has made that abundantly clear that that's his strategy and that's what he likes to do. So, but Bills fans,
hey, he could go third in the draft. Like, he's that, he's that.
Right. And Mike, then that take isn't wrong. Like, right. I like the way that you frame your, way you frame this hot take. Like, this is a pro move from a pontificator. Yeah. And you can be like, well, they never got the chance to trade
up. No, no, I said right away, if he slides, you can't be trading from 25 to 3. You're not doing that. But you could be trading from 25 to 13. You could do it.
So my thing, especially in the first round, I just want a guy that can make an impact this season because of how close we think they are to a Super Bowl. Like, they have the odds. They're the odds to go to the Super Bowl.
Greg Rousseau.
What about him? What about him? He started.
Draft him. Yeah. I'm saying is they have other defensive ends, but you draft him, you get him on the field. They would get him on the field. Plus the fact that, again, when you're making this run to the Super Bowl, you've got these guys on the field for basically every play, every game. Yep. I think that's – I'm just saying. And then in terms of, again, depending on what you have to give up, but in terms of wide receivers, there are a lot in this draft. And that Williams kid from Alabama is Tyreek Hill fast.
Yeah.
Comically fast.
Yeah.
Speed. He's got speed you can't teach.
Right. So do you make him? Yeah. But I think other teams are going to be making a move for him too. So. It's a position that the Bills value more than a lot of other teams.
That's fair. There you go.
Scalding hot take.
Daniel?
My thing on the corners is tricky too, because I think that there's a bigger drop-off than what other people are saying, and I haven't studied all of the Boots and the Elams and all those guys – to me, it's Derek Stingley, it's Sauce Gardner, and then there's a drop off. So if they move up, if they want to get Sauce Gardner, you know, and he if he's there at like Mike said, like that would be a move that I could see because I think that guy makes an immediate impact. I think some of these other guys, you're kind of holding their hand along in easing them into, you know, being a starter, which is, I think, a lot. I still think the Bills, they were in on Patrick Peterson, according to multiple reports. I think the source that I have says that the Bills are interested in Stephon Gilmore. They are in conversations, but they are nowhere near the leader of landing him. So take that for what it is. It goes to show you that, like we've all thought and like we all hoped, the Bills are kicking every tire that they can on any veteran corner.
Just real quick before you get to your hot take, I want to maybe Gilmore's waiting to see what the national TV schedule is for the Bills.
It's very true.
Before he makes a decision on coming to Buffalo, right?
That's very true.
You know, can't get that DirecTV contract for the fam. So,
speaking of TV, real quick, the Bills are absolutely opening in LA, right?
Should be. The Von Miller thing.
Von Miller. Von Miller was the cherry on top of that. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. And the overtime rules changed because of that Bills Chiefs game. We've got plenty of offseason to discuss what happened in the sports office.
Let's see. Where's the super hot take?
I didn't have one.
I know. Where is it? You're the king of the hot takes. Where is it? Jenna.
That's what I'm honestly.
No, Mike's hot take burned mine to pieces.
I'm not gonna lie, that's very fair.
Yeah.
That threw us all off.
I'm taking a week off from the hot take after the comment section roasted me so bad. I'm just gonna.
When did they roast you?
Somebody said that I knew football like a 13-year-old that played Madden. That was one of them. To that, I said, thanks for listening. And they responded, I'm as sarcastic as you. You're welcome. Which I thought was awesome.
That was good.
That was great.
Thanks for listening. Like, seriously, comment, subscribe, tons of comments. We go through the comments. We try and respond to more of them, but love the comments. They are awesome.
Yeah. There's always a comment about me as well, but I need to, like, get tape for my eyes. People are always making comments. I don't do anything fun before this podcast, folks.
And just remember,
I go into work.
The plants behind Jenna are fake.
Yeah, they're fake. Feeling green in my apartment.
Jenna, come on, your turn.
Okay, well, I was thinking more so like this season.
Yeah,
like,
go ahead.
Like that. So my thing was, if you look at Gabriel Davis's stats, he like in the regular season, he had about 500, less than 600 yards in each of the 2 years. I had him as a 1,000-yard receiver. That was something that I could see. I feel like that's a jump for him in terms of what he could do in the regular season, but I think he's going to be taking that step up. And then I had this as, this is the final year that Tremaine Edmonds is on the Bills roster.
Okay.
And
so I'm the hot taker.
You're the scalding hot take for today. Well,
here's my hot take that isn't a hot take. Bills fans will miss Brian Daboll more than they want to realize. There's one for you.
I think that's fair, actually.
But I was talking to some people at the Combine in Indy that know people inside the league that were giving a lot of credit to Ken Dorsey and for what he was doing. And the one thing that did stand out to me was that Sean McDermott talked about, we asked, what is in your system of an offense, how does the quarterback coach relate in their relationships with the quarterbacks and the position coaches pretty much. And it's kind of what you expected. And the fact that like Brian Daboll would do general meetings and then he's kind of big picture. And then it's down to the coaches, the individual position coaches to work every single day. And that's what he said. He's like, Ken Dorsey was every single day with Josh. Like he is the guy. And so if you think that Josh Allen made that a lot of progression, I can imagine a lot of people thinking that Ken Dorsey deserves a lot of that credit.
Yeah.
I think Brian Daboll deserves more. But
yeah. Well, and it'll be interesting to see Daboll operate this year. The one thing he's got for him is he can make a decision on Daniel Jones, and that can happen relatively fast. And the Giants will have some draft capital next year too, I think, to make a move. And maybe they even make another move now.
Yeah.
You know, like the Eagles did By the way, you want to make a deal, make one with the Saints. Seriously.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The Eagles may not get it right, but seriously, they give up a 1, 2, and a 3 for a mid-range one in this draft. So
I had to read that tweet like 6 times, though. I was like,
yeah, it was clunky. But in terms of that, because next year, again, that's a quarterback draft. But I will say Dable, as much as we love him, is going to be looking on that, you know, roster and looking on that field and not seeing 17.
Yeah, that is changing for him, too.
I got another hot take. They just come out of me now. Now that I think about
it. Yeah, I was going to say. Gates are open.
The Bills will draft a running back that will take snaps away from Devin Singletary.
Oh, I was going to say. Okay, I like it. A dynamic back, right?
Yep.
Second round?
I think it's – we talked about last year that they were in on ETN as a – and it's funny because as I spin myself into believing that, I hate running backs. We all know that and my take on that. But if I call them a playmaker and they just line up in the backfield
– that's good.
I can twist my mind into being like, hey, they can take a playmaker in the second round. And like, he just happens to have a number in the 20s and he just happens to get a lot of carries, but he also catches the ball a lot.
Dan,
so
does it factor into your equation that Zach Moss will come back in the greatest shape of his life?
Oh,
he will come back in the greatest shape of his life. That is true. I didn't factor that in.
We're waiting on those Instagram posts.
But on the plus side, we won't have to hear at all about Christian Wade or Antonio Williams this upcoming training camp.
Bills fans were very sad. I was going to say.
But we said in the beginning, he knew he was never going to play.
Yeah. But that was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if he was 22, it might have been a different story that he could have done. I mean, he's not. He can go back and play great rugby.
He's a preseason legend. I mean, Bills fans are in love with him, but his time is.
Yeah, I think they were in on Travis Etienne last year. That goes to show you that they've wanted to improve the running back position. They've tried to do it through some free agents, and I think they get a little bit younger. And that
Who's your combine guy that you talked about?
Max Borgie.
That's the guy.
Oh yeah, you liked him.
Now he's. As much as I want to talk myself into being smart and thinking that he's a day two guy, he's probably a day three guy.
It's all right.
I think that we talk about guys that haven't gotten deals done yet. You know, if they haven't locked you up for your second contract, what is that saying? I don't want them to have in Singletary. And as of right now, Zach Moss hasn't earned a second contract. Idea there. So
got to earn a roster spot first.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that they'll look to add a running back in this draft that we will be previewing at training camp, saying, I'm just want to help the team as much as I can. Yeah. And I'm just here to compete and do whatever the team needs.
He's a playmaker. Yeah.
And I'm going to refer to it as the playmaking game now, not the run game.
Yes. And we will have great conversations. I'll smile. I'll be thrilled.
All right.
Maybe they can give him one of those numbers that hides the fact that he's a running back.
So if he did single digits, I'd be okay with it,
single
right?
Single digits, like a one.
Ooh.
One would be fast.
Yeah. You're fast. Makes you faster.
Yeah.
One is fast.
No,
by the way, speaking of numbers.
10.
Yeah, because Mitchell had 10, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of numbers, 40, Von Miller? I know he wore that with the Rams.
So he wore it at A&M. I think that was his college number. And then he was 58 with Denver.
Yeah. 40 seems like the running back that's not going to make the roster.
It seems like the fullback that plays exclusively on special teams. He stands next to Reed on the bench for most of the game, number 40. Shout out Reed. I'm so glad I got Ferguson into the pod.
Wow, look at that. All right. Well, we thank you all so much for listening.
Good pod.
We had fun. All right. And some breaking news of the day as well. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to like, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. And I know we talked about it, but we really do go through the comments. So we appreciate the thoughts, some of them more than others, but we always are glad to have the feedback. Thank you so much for watching. We'll have plenty more. Again, just subscribe. We'll keep all the content coming. For Mike and Dan, I'm Jenna. We'll catch you next time on the Buffalo Plus podcast.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.